Go back to work like a boss. Buy Blunstons for a chance to win 150K.
Anytime Fitness. Make healthy happen your way. Join today. Visit anytimefitness.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Funny, like, it's, to me, the mentality is a really simple one in the sense that the confidence comes from preparation. You know, so when the game's on the line, I'm not asking myself to do something that I haven't done thousands of times before, right? So when I prepare, I know what I'm capable of doing, I know what I'm comfortable doing, and I know what I'm not comfortable doing, right? And so in those moments, if it looks like I'm ice cold or not nervous, it's because I've done it thousands of times before.
Bryant with the save.
Oh, you got to get a shot here.
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
It is hard to imagine that it is 12 months to the day since the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, the impact that had on the world in general, but the sporting world was profound. Five-time NBA champion, two-time finals MVP, league MVP, 10 scoring titles, 18-time All-Star. We know our sport reasonably well, Tim. Some sports are better than others. The education we got, though, post Kobe's tragic passing, from the people that we spoke to and interviewed, we got a great appreciation for the man and the competitor that he was.
You're right, Gary. And in some ways, I had him completely wrong, because we watched him play and we always thought that there was this sort of selfish arrogance about him. And I think that there probably was in some way about the way that he played, but the way that he shared himself and his knowledge of the game was all the stuff that we learnt post his death. And it was extraordinary to hear the outpouring of emotion that was afforded him.
It would be a really difficult day for so many people. Dal Harris was his first NBA coach. He has 556 wins, 457 losses as a coach with the Houston Rockets, the Milwaukee Bucks, the LA Lakers, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Welcome, Dal, on what is a really sad day of remembrance.
Well, thank you for having me on. Even though it's a sad day, but I know there are people that would like to know a little bit more, you know, other people's perspectives. So, you know, I'm willing to talk to you a bit about it. Thank you.
You were Kobe's first NBA coach, which would have been such a thrill, I would imagine, for him to be able to get to the organisation to be coached by you. Just 17 years of age, straight out of high school. What sort of a young man was he then?
Well, he was a typical teenager in general, in terms of overall approach. He lived with his mother and father there in Los Angeles that first year, for example. We didn't have any other players living with their mom and dad. And of course, he had a teenager's body. You remember when LeBron came into the league, he looked almost like he does today. I mean, he looked like he was 35 years old, and he's maintained that for all these years. He never changes. Kobe, on the other hand, was 6'6", a little smaller in height, but much smaller in terms of overall body development. He only weighed about 185 at the beginning. And by his third year and on, he played at between 210 and 220. And so there's a good bit of difference there. But he was, I'd say he's a typical teenager. On the other hand, he was very atypical in that he knew what he wanted to do, what he wanted to be, and he was willing to pay the price to get there. He was totally focused on being the best that he could be, for sure, but that was just a start. He wanted to be the best that ever was, seriously. That I don't think that ever changed.
Hey, Dal, there's always a hierarchy within a team and the framework of a team. He's a 17-year-old kid stepping into the NBA straight out of high school. How was he treated by the other players at that time?
I had a great bunch of guys on the team, just good people, and there was never any difficulty in the 2 years that I had him. Now, as you know, there were some differences that occurred that ultimately caused a split up between him and Shaq, but that was not the case in the 2 years and 12 games that I was there, for the obvious reason that nobody was resenting Kobe because I didn't put him ahead of anybody. That would have happened if I had ever shown preference to him, and that would have been harder on him than it would on anybody else, even though it would have made him happier to get, you know, right into the starting lineup. Obviously, he had always been the man in high school, but he had come to a team that had already won 53 games the year before, 48 the year before that. You know, it wasn't like LeBron came to a team that had been winning 20 games, 30 games max, and was the man from the beginning. Well, Kobe would have liked that. Who wouldn't? But anyway, even that second year, he only started one game his second year, and yet he was third leading scorer on the team and was runner-up sixth man of the year, and he did finish many games. And, you know, he averaged a good number of minutes, obviously. But at any rate, by the third year, he had gotten up to around the 210 mark and was able not only to play the guard position, but could slot in at the three for a bit. But, you know, he just had good players around him who like Eddie Jones, great character, Rick Fox, great character. Shaq is a wonderful person. Robert Horry, just a gentle giant type of guy. All the guys, Derek Fisher, and so forth. They're just good people, and they accepted him, and they knew that he was destined for greatness. I mean, that was obvious. But and you know, they really appreciated that he was working as hard as anybody on the team. I've coached a lot of players, as you know. I've coached over 15 players that are in the NBA or Naismith Hall of Fame. None of them ever worked harder than Kobe. Now, I'm not saying he worked harder than any of the great players either, but I don't think anybody ever outworked him, and that started day one.
Well, there's a common thread in all of that, Dale. You're the first NBA coach that Kobe Bryant ever had, and it's great to talk to you this morning, giving us some time and remembering the great man. It's a year, 12 months. It went so very, very quickly, and it's always great to be able to remember Kobe in the manner that we have this morning. So I appreciate you giving us some time.
Well, it's my privilege. Let me just say that with Kobe, he started out, you know, with a tough situation for him because we didn't have a practice site at that time. They didn't get their own practice facility until Phil Jackson came. And so he broke his hand playing in a pickup game just before camp started. He would have been in a facility, but all but two of the teams had their own facilities by then, but the Lakers didn't, and neither did the Clippers. And so it was hard for him to find places to play. Now that meant that he didn't get training camp his rookie year. He never played in a preseason game. The first time he ever got on the court to play in a game that year, it was for real. And so he got in at a slow start, but by the end of the year, he had worked himself into the last quarter of the season, he averaged double figures. So then the next year, as I said, he only started one game, but he became an integral part of the team as third leading scorer. Now, the thing that was hard for him was, as he worked his way up, being so totally focused on the work and things that he had to do, he didn't have a lot of fun, and he didn't make a lot of friends. And I think someone there that was talking earlier, when I picked up, noted that, you know, some people got the impression that he was selfish, and maybe he was, in the sense that he wanted to be the best, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he was hard on his teammates coming up. But as he grew, he developed and changed so that by the end of his career, I mean, he was helping coach and bring along the younger guys, and had become a true leader. And by the end there, I mean, he was going to literally at age 41, he was on his way to become even more of an influence as a person, as a human being, than he was as a player, because of the programs that he was doing for young people and doing for others. He had gone from being so focused on being the best to becoming others oriented as he matured. And you can't give much of a better compliment to anybody than that. And it was so sad the day that this all happened. And I am the vice president of the Mavericks Development League team, and we had a game that day, a Sunday afternoon. And when all the rumors started, I didn't know what was going on, and the cameras came, televisions, radios, got microphones. And I didn't even know, and they told me. And at that point, that they came to me, nobody knew for sure what had happened. And then when we found out that the helicopter had crashed, I thought, well, if there's any way to survive, Kobe will figure it out. But it just wasn't to be.
Tragically, it wasn't, Del, and we remember that day as well, 12 months ago. It's amazing how quickly time goes. But it is great to be able to remember him in the way that we have this morning. And again, we appreciate you giving us some time.
Well, thank you. And God bless all of you down under. I do appreciate your love for basketball and freedom down there.
Indeed. Thanks so much. That's Del Harris, who was Kobe Bryant's first NBA coach. Wisp celebrated and decorated coaching career he had as well, and gives us a chance to sit back and reflect. And yeah, as I said, I mean, we learn a lot more. Well, for us who weren't as, you know, dialed in, or certainly me, into the NBA and to Kobe particularly, we learned so much more post his life, which is often always the way, and that's a tragedy in itself. But
amazing,
we'll continue to learn.
How long before the game, or how early before the game, would you have had to arrive to hear Del's pregame address for the players, do you think?
Well, it's a long induction day, I would have thought, and probably part of the challenge, I think, to get yourself sorted. And
maybe 3 hours before the game,
possibly. But we respect everyone. Speaking of the NBA, what about the Harden trade?
Unbelievable. Extraordinary that they've secured now three of the greatest players in the NBA. I mean, surely they've got, at the very least, they've got to play off for the championship, do they not? And you know the other great legacy, too, about Kobe Bryant is, if you listen to all the players now, it is his work ethic. And every time anyone talks about him, they talk about his work ethic, which was legendary. But it's been handed on to the next generation of players and the next generation of players. And it will continue on forever. And people will be still talking about the work ethic of Kobe Bryant. In 100 years' time, they'll be referencing it.
I was going to ask Del about James Harden, but
Get him back.
He could take us up to Bob and Andy. Del was here for the all-new Kia Stonic SUV. You can chat about Kobe. You can chat about the interview with Del. You can chat about whatever you want. This is our first chance to throw the lines open. 1-300-736-736. Anything at all. It's our first day back. We're easing our way into it.
And some extraordinary stuff's coming through on the text as well. I just need to talk to you about your Rosebud Golf
What's that?
Venture too. Apparently you behaved yourself well, but you struggled with your directions. You held up play when you played the wrong hole.
I did get lost.
Is that right?
1-300-736-736. Your call's next.